Don Lebatard.
What's the big deal? Shut up.
Stugatz.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a gas bag.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
Ricky Williams going to join us in just a minute here on the Shell Penzol Performance Line. Before we get to Ricky, though, we rudely interrupted our friend, I think, Christine Lisi.
And finally, your thumb is the same length as your nose. Who knew?
Who knew? My thumb is the same length as every other finger I have. A little bit weird. It's been a while since we had a chance to sit down with Ricky Williams. Used to come on the show a lot. Been a while. So let's catch up with Ricky Williams on the Shell Penzol Performance Line.
Ricky Williams with us on ESPN Radio. New BET documentary, Smoke, Marijuana, and Black America is tonight at 10 p.m. His story is particularly fascinating because he's seen the stigma around marijuana shift during the last 10 years. So where would you, Ricky, place on your list of things that are interesting about you, football?
It depends. If you're taking like a look from far out and you're saying, oh, look, there's a football player, then it's not that interesting. But I think as a football player, the way I approach football, the way I thought about it, I think that's interesting.
How about for you, though, in terms of the importance? Because you studied that craft, you applied yourself with maximum effort to that craft, but I always thought that that craft was something that sort of got in the way of life's bigger pursuits for you.
Well, yeah, I think of football and what I learned as a football player, as I think well said, is a craft. You know, one of the main crafts you learn as a football player is how to overcome adversity, how to overcome your own fear, how to overcome the idea of being intimidated by something. And that's a skill that I'm very grateful I developed. But football as a life, that's too stressful for me. There's a certain point where you learn the lesson and you move on to use it in other areas of your life. That's the way, at least that's the way I frame my time and my experience as a football player. And, you know, the positive side is I got to make a lot of people happy. You got to piss off a lot of people. And got to make a little bit of money to fund my adventures.
Well, tell the people who don't know about your adventures, because they've been pretty plentiful and they've gone to, they've gone to some extreme places on the search where a lot of people go looking for God, for answers, for just the solving of mysteries. Can you sort of explain to people, whether we're talking about the studying of Chinese medicine, whether we're talking about the study of astrology, whether we're talking about the search through Ayurveda, like massage therapy, yoga, like what are we talking about?
Yeah, all that stuff. And like I said, it comes from, you know, I get a massage and I have an experience that I'm like, wow, this really helped in ways I don't understand. And so I become curious about understanding why did massage work? And then I get acupuncture and it blows my mind that I feel so much better. And then I become curious about how does acupuncture work? And then I get an astrological reading and it blows my mind. Then I become curious of how does this work? And so I think I'm curious and searching for things that work, that improve the quality of my life. And so, and just that improve the quality of life in general and provide more clarity. And so anytime I get a whiff of anything that provides that for me, then I become passionate about getting to the bottom of it.
You basically apply to the things that made you great at football, you will shift it and then apply it to Chinese medicine, to acupuncture, to yoga, and to meditation, and now to astrology. That's fair to say, right? Like once you pour yourself in, maybe even more so, given that football wasn't quite the curiosity that these things are. You at one point, you mastered football.
Yeah, more or less. But again, I think even before we learn to use our minds, the first thing we learn to use is our bodies. And so the same ideology behind, you know, why yoga is a spiritual thing, it relates to football. As you learn to master your body, you have training to start to learn to master your mind. And so I look at my training in football as specifically preparing me to study meditation and to study Chinese medicine and to study these things. I don't see them as separate. Although I did, because I didn't have any examples of, oh, when football is training you to be something different. I bought into the idea that football, that's it. You know, football, then I'm bronze in the Hall of Fame and I live forever.
you never took painkillers, right? Like, so you were of this mentality, sort of overcoming pain and adversity. You were somebody who was about that even while dabbling in the most challenging of painful things, which is carrying the ball 40 times on a Sunday for Wanstead.
Well, I took painkillers because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. But one day I was sitting in the training room and I was watching guys come into the training room one by one to get their Toradol shot for practice. And I started thinking, like, if we keep doing this for our careers, like, what, this is going to have long-term effects. And so I started to experiment. I set a challenge for myself. How long can I go in the season without having to take any pain medicine? And I found, you know, stretching and breathing and other things. I found other ways to take care of my body. And again, it led me down this road of studying a lot of things that most football players don't look into.
You are featured in a BET documentary, Smoke, Marijuana, and Black America, and it examines marijuana's cultural, social, economic impact, and specifically on the Black community. What did you find interesting about the conversations they were having with you there as it relates to the Black community?
My section, we were talking about sports. And in the conversation, you know, during the taping of the doc, we brought up that 60 Minutes interview with me and Mike Wallace. And I think that really represents so much of what this doc is about. And especially when you going back and watching it, the way that Mike Wallace approached me, you know, because the point of view at this time was, you know, he was the old established white man talking down to the athlete who gave up everything. And he put me on the spot. And in that moment, I had to choose, am I going to side with his version of the story that I'm a bad person and I shouldn't be doing this and lie about it? Or am I going to take more ownership of my experience, even though I didn't really understand what was going on? And you could see on my face that, you know, that I was kind of stuck in between this moment, but I was on the spot. And I ended up saying that, you know, acknowledging that, yes, I am still smoking. And so, you know, really, and this is our story. You know, and so much of history is told by, you know, the white man, and it excludes minority voices and it excludes female voices. And so I think the point of this doc is to tell our side of the story, empower African Americans, really empower everyone to own their version of their experiences of life.
Early on, right, with something that was diagnosed as social anxiety disorder, you tried pharmaceuticals, I think Paxil. You were an endorser. Yes, you were an endorser for Paxil, correct? Which probably runs contrary. What you know now about yourself, that's probably not something that you would do, right? Because you would go organic almost in every instant, right?
Yeah, but Paxil was my gateway drug to really appreciating the value of cannabis. And I spoke earlier about the existential crisis we're all going through. And I was in that same place looking for meaning. And I think what cannabis represents is what scientists would call right brain functioning. You know, left brain being the logical, rational mind, you know, and that's really what controls at least the Western world, you know, is logic and reason. But there's a other side to life, our imagination, visionary experiences. And I think one of the things that cannabis does is it activates that mode of functioning. I can talk about this for hours. And so for me, it really gave me permission to access that part of myself. And that's something that I really needed. And I think we all need to have to function from both our logical, rational mind, but also our intuitive, imaginative functioning. And cannabis isn't the only way to do it. Meditation and journaling, there's so many ways to do it. But I think this is why cannabis is becoming so popular, is because the world is realizing we need to access this other part of ourselves.
Are you stunned to see what's happened on this front even in the last 10 years?
Yeah, it's amazing. Just because of my lived experience of how demonized I was and how rigid people's perspective and how in a short amount of time, you know, it's changed. And, you know, I remember I was in Austin a couple of years back, and I got a call from my producer at Longhorn Network, and she said, you know, ESPN wants you to come in and talk about medicinal marijuana. And I was like, what? Well, they're going to pay me to go on television and talk about this? Okay.
Ricky, always good talking to you, buddy.
All right. See you.
Don Libertard.
He's a man, but he's, you know, he's getting his hair did.
Stugatz.
Isaac Newton most likely died a virgin.
This is the Don Libertard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options available. Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com. We'll get to conversational in a second. Richard Lewis, Dan's nemesis, will join us in 15 minutes. It's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
Conversational, Lebatard and Friends. I saw a mystery crate fall out of the sky earlier than I'm used to seeing them. Billy is slaving 20 hours a day producing mystery crates. What is happening with the latest mystery crate, Billy?
Dan, we have a new episode of BBBBBB that came out today. Fun stuff. Check it out.
Okay, very right. Good. Do you want to tell anybody who might not know what BBBBBB is, even though it should go without saying?
Well, it stands for something different each episode, Billy. What does this week stand for?
Well, Dan, the concept started as us wanting to talk about baseball, basketball, and Big Brother. But Big Brother was a bit of a dud, so we kind of got rid of those Bs. And baseball and basketball, we quickly learned no one wanted to hear what we had to say about baseball and basketball. So, you know, we've kind of shifted. We've shifted a little bit as to where things are going to go. But everything has a B in this podcast, Dan. We told some stories about barfing, probably a little too many stories about barfing, but That was a lot of it this week, honestly. Probably way too much barf.
Okay, very good. So if you wish for Lebatard and Friends to barf out more material, you could find out what Billy is barfing on the Mystery Crate this week, which has just dropped here recently. I wanted to get to another B, the Bucks here, the Milwaukee Bucks, Stugatz, because I don't know that anything that they did in terms of acquisitions tells us that Giannis has told them, yes, I'm definitely staying here long term. It felt like things put in place in order to appease Giannis and to change the team a little bit, to get him some shooters and some guys who can be guys who can create their own shot. But I am old enough to remember Pat Riley thinking that Josh McRoberts and Danny Granger might keep LeBron James in Miami. I don't know what Bogdanovich and Holiday mean in terms of what Giannis has told Milwaukee.
I think it makes them a better team. I think in terms of what Giannis told Milwaukee, they mortgaged their future for Drew Holiday. There are a ton of unprotected picks in like 2025, 2027. There's no way they do that without some assurance that Giannis is going to stay there long term, in my opinion.
Oh, I think there's plenty of way they do it without some assurance. However, there are people that are insiders suggesting the waters are warming and there's a lot of positive momentum toward Giannis and the Bucks working something out. But he hasn't flatly said he will sign that extension, and the drop-dead date on that is mid-December. They are a better team, I think, for these moves. Those swaps, too. They didn't just trade first-round draft picks. They also traded the ability to swap, which if you're New Orleans and Stan Van Gundy, you got nice pieces in return because Bledsoe and George Hill, I think, compensate for the loss of Drew Holiday. But Drew Holiday is an impending free agent. You might very well have a core of Bogdanovich and Chris Middleton, and that might be a lottery team. So New Orleans is well-positioned for the future. It all rides on Giannis.
Can you guys help me with something here? Because one of the ways that I have some difficulty with the measurements in that sport is when I look at guys who are put in positions to have the ball a lot and what their numbers end up doing and how good or bad their team is when they're at the top of that structure. Yesterday I said to you that I didn't see a lot of difference between Eric Bledsoe and Drew Holiday. Now, that's one side of the ball. Holiday is indisputably a better defensive player, and Milwaukee is already
no slouch, though. Right. And George Hill's a good defender, Dan.
But the thing that I wanted to ask you guys about is help me with how much better is Drew Holiday than Eric Bledsoe? Because that felt to me like moving pieces around. Is Drew Holiday a great deal better than Bledsoe at creating his own shot? Because he to me, that's the thing you have to be getting if you're trying to help Giannis not turn into another Ben Simmons who you can't trust in the half court when you're late in the season or in the playoffs because nobody's going to respect his jumper.
Well, Bledsoe's good at creating his own shot. He's physical. He's got a long wingspan, and he's aggressive driving. He's improved his shot somewhat, but when you look at a team that was very good from the outside of Milwaukee, you're the guy, he's the guy that many teams are pointing to. Okay, we'll have him shoot the ball. Well, Drew may not be as great at creating his own shot, and that could be up for debate. He's certainly better at creating other people's shot. He assists it on open threes more than Eric Bledsoe on a team that shot threes very well. I do think they're better by degrees, but if he leaves as a free agent, that's a lot to give up for the likes of Drew Holiday. And if he wins a title, I'm sure he stays with Giannis, but his decision is going to be impacted by Giannis, which means, bottom line, it doesn't matter if this is a good deal on the surface or not. It matters if it's enough to convince Giannis Antetokounmpo to stick around.
Right. And he's around. Holiday is 7 assists per game for his career. Bledsoe's around 4, 4.5. So I feel like Holiday is a better player. I'm not certain it gets them to the finals. I'm not certain if it wins them a title, but you have to give the appearances that you're trying if you're the Bucks, no?
I mean, it's an interesting strategy because Drew Holiday is one of the more underrated players in the league. He was an all-star, but that was like 7 years ago. And Chris Middleton is also one of the more underrated players in the league, and he's actually a reigning all-star. You're going in with the best player, arguably, in the league, a reigning MVP, and a bunch of people that are considered underrated. I'm not sure that's enough to close a gap, even with a team like head-to-head, like the Miami Heat.
Dan, let's be clear for people who don't know. This is courtesy of Bobby Marks, who works at ESPN, from his Twitter feed yesterday. What New Orleans got back was a 2020 first-round pick via Indiana, a 2024 right to swap, a 2025 one unprotected, a 2026 right to swap, and a 2027 first-round pick unprotected. You think they're doing that without some assurance from Giannis?
I do think that they're doing it without an assurance from Giannis, and I think because you had to trade seven first-rounders for Paul George, and you got 2 years of assurances from Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Mike mentioned Miami. This, to me, telegraphed. I mean, if you didn't see it in the playoffs, five games, second round, this is Milwaukee trying to out Miami. Like, this is very much, we're going to try and play that way now because that's what just beat us. That just gave us the problems. We're going to go ahead and create this shooters, move the ball around, and we're going to have Giannis as opposed to Miami, which doesn't have Giannis.
Well, they very clearly needed to do something. Regardless of what Giannis's future is with that franchise, they're very much one of the contenders in the East. They were the top seed in the East. They needed to do something because they're not as good as Miami if they get head-to-head in a series. We saw that throughout the regular season and a series that ended in five games. They needed to close that gulf.
Gotz, it doesn't have to be an assurance. It could be desperate begging. It could be desperate begging because you give up whatever you have to give up, not for Drew Holiday, for keeping Giannis.
Don Levitard.
Bruce Bochy rocks the party, that rocks your body.
Stugatz.
Prince William ain't do it right if you ask me, because I would have married Mary-Kate and Ashley.
This is the Don Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Our thanks to Ricky Williams and Jeff Passan for joining us earlier. Dan's nemesis, Richard Lewis. It's odd, I know, but it's his nemesis. He will join us in just a second here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
For all the teasing we do about Richard Lewis being our nemesis, I actually find it hugely flattering that people like him and Bob Einstein and Alan Thicke, like these are people with comedy pedigrees.
Richard Lewis is a legend.
I mean,
man.
Richard Lewis, I enjoyed watching. We'll get to him in a second. The documentary on Showtime about the Comedy Store, unbelievable what that place has produced. We'll get to Richard in a second, but first, I'm sorry, because this is the height of entertainment, because he's played Carnegie Hall, but we have something that is higher in production quality than anything he's ever seen on Curb Your Enthusiasm or anywhere else. Here's Christine Lisi with her kazoos.
And finally, both of Jack Black's parents were rocket scientists. How about that?
Oh, they must be so disappointed. Jack Black, even though I love Jack Black. Richard Lewis with us now on ESPN Radio. We got a big one. He's our Ohio State correspondent. We got Indiana, number 9, Indiana, at number 3, Ohio State, this Saturday noon. Richard Lewis, a big one. A big one for your Buckeyes.
Why don't you just shut up for a second and explain to me what that introduction was all about? It scared the hell out of me.
What do you mean?
I like Jack. I mean, Jack is a friend of mine, but what is he? Why are you putting him in there in the introduction? That was the most poorly written introduction of all time.
Okay, I don't know who you're criticizing or what you're criticizing us.
I'm criticizing you. You and the entire network. How do you like that, buddy? Well,
what do you? I called you a legend.
He called you a legend, and I said how flattered I was that you. Was it the Jack Black thing that you're objecting to?
Well, do you know what that meant? What was that, a movie of his with the kazoos? What the hell was it? All right, listen. Let's get down to football here. The Buckeyes have only played 3 games. I mean, the way this horror is working out here, it might be. If they're going to come in the top 4, which they should, if they'll win every game from here on in, some teams will be 11-0 and we'll be 4-0. How are they going to? I'm asking you a question because you're allegedly smart. How are they going to? Is the team that before them going to be really pissed off because Ohio State only played a couple of games?
Yes, of course.
The 11-0 team is going to be very upset.
All of the 11-0 teams are going to be really mad when 4-0 Ohio State ends up in the top 4 at the end of the season. Look, and you love it. In your lifetime, you've not seen an important game against Indiana, have you?
No, not in 100 years. They've never been at the big, at the stadium. I just woke up. What's the name for the stadium? I just woke up. The Big Shoe.
Wait a minute. You can't be our expert and not know. Richard, you can't.
No, I just told, look, I'm recovering from a shoulder replacement. I'm getting ready for Curb, and my wife put on a shoe. I went, it's a big shoe. It's too big. You didn't hear it properly. You're always looking for ways to cut me down. And it's okay. Now, listen, let's talk football.
The Big Shoe.
Let's talk football.
Is your shoulder okay? We'll talk football in a second, even though you don't know the name of the stadium. That is your alma mater stadium.
Shut up. I made a mistake. All right, I'm embarrassed. I was a two-time. I'm a two-time.
You're falling apart, Lewis.
You really are.
What happened? You're a two-time what? Is it the pain medication from the shoulder surgery? What's going on with you today?
I'm a recovered drug addict. I got to be careful. Now listen to me. Let's talk football.
We're trying.
Of course, it's a big shoe out there. You just got me all shaken up with that Jack Black introduction, and I'm not Jack Black. I'm Richard Lewis, and I'll be ready for Curb. Now, listen, on paper, people are thinking Indiana, but, they had a good 3 games. Didn't they win Kent State by a small margin? Just remind me.
Yes, the very end of the game, the smallest of margins. But I don't think people are saying on paper Indiana is better than Ohio State. I don't think that's a thing that's being said by anybody.
Can I finish my point, please? Really, don't cut me off before I make you sound smarter.
He asked a question.
listen, Ohio State, in my head, are going to score about easily over 40 points, and if they start out fast, because this is my psychological theory, and I've been on a lot of shrinks, because they've only played 3 games, they're going to want to really prove to the country that they are truly a powerhouse and deserve to be in the top 4 easily. They already are. So they're going to win by about, I'd say, about 28 points. Now, here's the deal. We have our lead running back out, and Master Teague, he's a strong guy. He's like 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of guy, that guy when I was at school. the offensive line's going to have to open up some bigger holes for him so we can get more yardage. And the quarterback for Indiana, he's had a great 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Who cares?
They're 4-0.
Richard, I don't feel. I feel like your analysis is somewhat flimsy. I feel like you're.
No, it's not. Justin Fields is probably going to be a Heisman winner because he's great in the big shoe. He's always ready to fix you. Now, I say they win by about 24 points. Now, listen, here's the deal. I'm really pissed off. I've been a two-time Grand Marshal. Who's more famous than me right now who's alive? I mean, nobody. You'd think the Ohio State would put my picture up in the stands on cardboard. What the hell are they thinking?
Are they not proud of you as an alum? Like you are, you're a very famous alum. Like, do they not?
Right now, other than dead people who invented like fear, polio vaccines and things like that, I'm the most famous guy. And I don't mind. Jack Nicklaus only went to school, took four courses, probably took tumbling. And I graduated for 4 years. I have my degree. I'm looking at it right now on my office wall. Who else has a degree and been on curve for 20 years? Me.
Okay.
Just me. So here's the thing. They're going to win by at least 23 points, maybe more. I think even maybe 28. I'm going down around 28 points.
Richard, this is not good analysis. Richard, saying maybe 23, maybe 24, maybe 28 points. That's not good analysis.
All right, it's 8 points. Justin Fields is going to have a field day. You know, the corners, seven is phenomenal, but the quarterback can't fling it around. He's got two good wide receivers, so it's not going to be a piece of cake. But once they get like a 17-3 lead, they're going to powerhouse their way to a rump.
Okay, before we let you go here, because I want to talk about something.
Before I let you go.
No, I'm going to let you go before you let me go.
No, I have to let you go before I let you go.
I dare you to let me go before I let you go. I dare you. He's still there, though.
Wow.
Oh!
Oh, my God!
Oh, it's escalated again!
Nothing in life is free. Time for some ads.
Can't wait for the Clash and the Big Shoe.
The Comedy Store documentary that he's in is really good. It's very interesting. I can't believe the amount of funny people and famous people. That place has been better for comedy than any place you will find outside of maybe Saturday Night Live.
It tells the story of that place and the people who have come through that
place. It's just crazy. Yeah, it's just crazy how much genius has come through that place.
Don Le Batard.
Behold, Pukey Sports Radio.
Stugatz.
Anything you want to throw at me, I got it covered. Fastball, got it covered. Curveball, I got you. Changeup, I got you. Slider outside of the plate, got you covered.
This is the Don Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. What's for Lunch is brought to you by HelloFresh. We love that place. Get a total of $80 off using code Dan at HelloFresh.com. I have in the fridge right now a turkey roast beef sandwich I got from one of my favorite delis. I will be eating that immediately after the show. Mike, what's for lunch today?
Well, I'm skipping lunch today, but HelloFresh has me brimming with confidence. My next order comes in on Thursday, but now since I have all these successful recipes under my belt, Stugatz, I'm going big tonight. Scallops, lobster tails, Mike's world famous champagne risotto. That's what's on deck for tonight, so that's why I'm fasting for lunch.
Very good. Good job out of you.
At Le Batard Show, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you skip a meal when you know you're going to have a big dinner?
Oh, yeah.
At Le Batard Show is how you vote on everything that we've been talking about today. Before we go to the poll at Le Batard Show, before we do that, though, I just do want to mention again, because it sounds sometimes like it's contentious with Richard Lewis, and it is. I didn't even think it was terribly creative for me to dare him to hang up on us when I knew he was going to hang up on us. But I do want it stated for the record how absurd and wonderful it is that all of these creative people like Richard Lewis or Funkhauser or Adam McKay or
John Lovitz
or Bill Lawrence, that these creative, legitimately funny people think that anything we do around here is worthy of their time for no pay. At Le Batard Show on Twitter is how you vote on the poll.
The Twitter poll at Le Batard Show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
Are you having an existential crisis once a week? Did I say that right?
You made it sound more like an egg sandwich.
Existential. Better?
Yes.
Are you having it once a week? I'm not saying it again, okay? Tony is saying he has one once a week. 71% of the audience agrees.
It's a tough time, man. It's a ridiculous, ridiculous time. And after a while, it's not going to be just a time anymore. It's just going to be our new normal.
You know what I've started doing? I've started loading up on 2020 merchandise. I wanted to get a Masters cap from 2020 because
smart.
This is a year unlike any other. Yep. And I'm sure like 15 years down the line, all the 2020 merch is going to be like so in style. I want to load up on this year.
I think that John Oliver does one of the smartest shows in the history of television. The way that he ended his season, and he's gone until February now, but they just basically spend a bunch of HBO's money because they can. They blew up some giant, I don't know where they went and did this, but they were in some sort of cavernous place where they just blew up because they could, the numbers 2020. It was very clever. It was creative what they did. And finally, we got some contact between John Oliver and Adam Driver. John Oliver has had a creepy sort of fetishizing of Adam Driver that has finally reached its romantic conclusion.
All right, thanks for that. Is the term global pandemic redundant?
I sense a lack of sincerity in you thanking me for that.
70% of the audience says yes. I'm sorry about that.
You're not sorry about that. There's a lack of sincerity in your apology as well. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Which was less sincere? Stugatz thanking Dan or Stugatz apologizing to Dan? Because I believe this is going to be 50-50 push, just draped in insincerity.
Is Wawa a gas station? It is so much more than that. It really is. People who love Wawa are going to be infuriated by this question. 64% of the audience said yes. Those 35%, 36%, they are outraged right
Wawa
now.
Wawa elitists?
I mean, you go to Wawa. I go to Wawa sometimes. I don't get gas at all. I get lunch. Seriously.
Unless you're having a big meal that night, in which point you skip lunch.
Correct. Is Dolly Parton the greatest living American? 58% of the audience said, yep.
Yeah, and the rest of you need to read up on Dolly Parton.
Or voted for Nick Cage.
Who is more likely to hit you with the college bona fides? Harvard, Oxford, Juilliard. I thought Juilliard was exceptional. Mike weighed in with that. But Harvard, overwhelming. 69% of the audience went with Harvard.
Nice. Happy to announce that Pablo and Mina will brawl for our entertainment tomorrow. We get down to the bottom of which school is better.
Pablo insulted Mina by really saying did. That Mina, revealing that Mina couldn't get into Harvard, so she had to choose Yale. Like, right. That's where the beef starts. We're going to finish it tomorrow.
Has big one against the Hoosiers this weekend ever been said in football? It's a big one at the Big Shoe. 93% of the audience said no. Never been said before.
How do you feel about Richard Lewis demanding and being sort of confused, but finally arriving at Ohio State winning by between 23 and 28 points? Like, how did you feel about that as analysis?
I felt great. That's my kind of analysis.
What is that?
It's Richard Lewis.
Couldn't remember the name of the stadium. 5 seconds, Billy.
Danny's a two-time.
Yeah.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.